Hey, how are you? Yeah, there is no place better to be than the presence of God. Like, people ask me all the time, like, aren't we gonna get tired of, eternity in heaven is a really long time? No way. No better place to be. I should clarify because as I was talking to a bunch of you when you came in, and I forgot that I am wearing probably one of the most confusing hoodies that I own. And so you're not going to get anything out of the message until I explain it. This is Woody. He's got a gun and some 5 o'clock shadow. And it says, "Fight the owners, fear the toys, the Woody dead." Because if they ever combined Toy Story and The Walking Dead, it would be the greatest piece of cinema ever created in the history of the world. And everybody said, some of you are like, "No, I'm not saying amen to that. What are you talking about?" So we are starting a new series tonight called Close. We're going to talk about getting close to God and what that looks like, and not only how we do that, but the things that get in the way of doing that. And tonight we're going to talk about confidence. And so I was thinking when I grew up, when I was much younger, I grew up in a town called Springfield, Oregon. There's a picture of Springfield that maybe you have seen someplace else. If you could put that picture of Springfield up, that would be great. Anybody know where this Springfield, what Springfield this is? The Simpsons, right? So I grew up in Springfield, Oregon, which is actually the actual town that Springfield, that the Simpsons lived in, was named after. And there's a couple of places where this mural is actually painted on a couple of buildings in Springfield, Oregon. That's our only claim to fame, literally it. But I lived on, I'll give you the address. So if you're ever in Springfield, Oregon, you want to look up who's living there now. I lived at 3714 Virginia Street, Springfield, Oregon, 97477. I still remember the address. And I had three friends. Well, actually, I had more friends than that. I should clarify. I had three friends that were like my best friends in the world. It was Kenneth Streeter, David Streeter, and Craig Blanchett. The four of us, we did everything together. And when we were in grade school, we hung out all the time. And Craig Blanchett was is this amazing guy who, when he was born, he was born without, below the knees, there was nothing. Without legs beyond the knee. And it always sounds weird, but he was born and they stopped at the knee. Everybody got the picture, the mental picture of what's going on there? All right. So he was like the ringleader of the group. He was the one that always came up with these great ideas. This is Craig now. Craig is an amazing guy. Craig now, he does triathlons and marathons. He's an Olympic medalist. He's broken 21 world records in different events. Amazing guy. That's Craig now. The Craig I knew back then was a little bit different. He was a little crazy. Like, he had prosthetic legs, but he hated them, so he wouldn't wear them. And he had a wheelchair, but he didn't like it, so he wouldn't get in it. He had a skateboard and like these leather gloves, and like he was everywhere, and he was awesome, an amazing guy. So Halloween 1980, just so you know how long ago 1980 was, some of you are like, wow, that was before calendars. So Halloween 1980, the number one song in America was Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. Yes. All right. So Halloween 1980, we are sitting around, we are 11 years old, and we're like, we have got to do something different this year. And you could just see Craig's, the wheels in his head were spinning. He was like, oh my gosh, I've got the greatest idea ever. And we're like, oh, this is going to be good because it's Craig, right? And he said, this is what we're going to do. We're gonna put me on the porch. Like, okay, we're starting with put me on the porch. You know this is going to be good, right? And we're like, yes, I can already see This is going to be amazing. He said, we're going to put me on the porch, and we're going to cover my stumps in ketchup. And we're like, okay, now this is getting dangerously close to being the greatest idea that has ever been had. And he goes, okay, and then we're going to put me under a blanket, and with little kids come up on the porch, we're going to have a rope connected to the blanket. We're going to pull the rope off, and I'm just going to start screaming, oh my gosh, it hurts so bad. It was the greatest Halloween in the history of Halloweens. Literally, to this day, Halloween 1980, Another One Bites the Dust playing in the background, little kids screaming up and down the street. It was literally the greatest day ever. So shortly after that, like actually a few months, I moved to another town, and Craig moved away, and like literally years went by, and we hadn't really kept in touch, and I remember like opening up the Sports Illustrated, and there he was inside Sports Illustrated. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Craig. And a few years after that, he was doing a marathon in Portland, Oregon, and I got a call, and he said, Scott, this is Craig. And I said, Craig, how are you, man? He goes, good, I still don't have legs. I said, you haven't changed. He said, why don't you come up and let's have lunch? And like literally years had gone by, and I said, that would be amazing. So we set the time, we set the place, and as it got closer, something really interesting began to happen. I found myself actually getting nervous. It's like I hadn't seen him in years, and like some fear started. You know when you haven't seen somebody for a really long time, and you're like, I wonder if we still have anything in common. I wonder if we're going to have anything to talk about. And as it got closer and it got closer, I remember thinking, playing the what-if game in my head. What if this goes terribly wrong? Has anybody ever had that moment? You know what I'm talking about? And I guess I would ask us tonight, how many of us are in that same place with God? How many of us are in that same place where, man, when was the last time I really talked to him and I hung out with him? When was the last time I opened his word and it was like he really spoke to me? When was the last time I felt really, really close to him? And you know what? If I'm honest, now I'm in a place where I'm almost afraid to draw close to him, because if I do, he's going to say something I don't want him to say, or he's going to be mad at me, or I'm not going to feel this distance and it's not going to be the same. So it's better that I just keep this distance. Because when I even think about drawing close to God, there's some nervousness and there's some fear. Anybody? Or am I the only one? Like, I'll wait. Because if I don't have people with me, I'm just going to leave. No, I'm not. The problem is that if that is our mindset, we will never have the confidence to draw near to God, because we don't fully understand how he really feels about us. There's this scripture in Genesis chapter 12. There's this guy named Abraham, and I want to read chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and he's not even Abraham yet. His name is Abram, and it says this. God makes this promise to him. It says, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's an awesome promise, right? Like, that's one of those that when God speaks up, you go, yeah. But then when you begin to dive into it just a little deeper, here's the problem. He gives him no details whatsoever. It's like, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless everyone around you. And I'm going to curse those that hurt you. And you're going to have this name that's going to be known forever. Like, okay, details would be amazing. Because the only details that God gives him, and this is the important context, and I just want you to hear this. I want you to listen. It's not even going to be up on the screen. Because if you back up to verse 1, it says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God basically tells him, I want you to leave everything. Just walk away from family, friends. I want you to move away from everything you've known, everywhere you have known as home and the things that you're familiar with, and go to a land where there's always a line at Chick-fil-A. Wait, no, that was me. By the way, why is there always a line at Chick-fil-A? Just asking. You see, God gives Abram this great big promise with no info on how it's going to happen. And the only reason that Abram, who will become Abraham, was willing to go where God asked him to go is he had confidence in who God was. He knew God loved him and would care for him and walk with him. You know, through the entire process, God walks with him, and there's all this crazy stuff that happens. And I would totally encourage you to start in Genesis chapter 12 and read. Just give you one bit of information. The one thing he wanted more than anything else was a son, and he had to wait till he was 99 years old. It was all these amazing things that happened. And it was all because, not because he had details of what was going to happen, because he had a confidence in who God was so he could draw close to him. The point is this, you see, God walked with him. He was with him, he was next to him, he was there with him. And because Abraham knew who God was, he could be confident that no matter what he walked through, maybe it wasn't all going to go the way he wanted to go, but he knew that God would be with him. Check this little tidbit out. So we get to the part in the New Testament. Jesus is standing there with his disciples. He's already died. He's risen from the dead. He's standing in this place, and he's about to get sucked into heaven. That's the technical theological term, all right? He's about to be taken up into heaven, and he looks at his disciples, and his disciples are like, this. What is going on here? Because if you leave us, Jesus, then we have nothing. And think about the distance that Jesus was about to put between him and his disciples. It was from heaven to earth. That's a long ways. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, it says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And get this line. Hear what he says. And behold, I am with you always. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Like he's about to go to heaven. But he goes, you know what? I want you to know that, by the way, when God starts talking about to the end of the age, he's got a pretty good idea that that's going to be like a really long time. He says, I am going to be with you until the very end of the age. That is amazing. The God that in this moment, when even he's about to put that amount of distance between us and him, he says, don't worry, even that distance can't keep me from having a relationship with you. Relationship with God matters a lot. Not just a little, but a lot. I mean, enough that God the Father would send his Son, that his Son would come and live a sinless life, and he would die, and he would raise from the dead, and it was all for one reason, so that we might have a relationship with him. God is not trying, like when we think that somehow the reason I can't get close to God because if I come close to him, he's going to tell me to do something I don't want to do, or he's going to tell me not to do something I don't want to do, or he's going to tell me to go someplace I don't want to go. I want you to know, God doesn't want to draw close to you because he wants to tell you to do more. He wants to draw close to you because he just wants you to be with you more. The God of the universe wants to be with you. To know him better because he knows us better than we know ourselves. I often think to myself how amazing it would be to have a story that whenever I come to God, I could just say, you know, you remember when? Like those, Those are the most amazing conversations that I have with friends that I've had for a long time. Remember when we laid you on a porch and put ketchup on your stumps? Because the fact is, when I sat down with Craig, it was only 20 minutes in to our meal when you know what came up? Remember that time we put ketchup on your stumps? And sometimes I think I must sound like a complete buffoon when I sit down with God and I go, God, remember that time and there was the Red Sea and the children of Israel were there and like you parted it? That was awesome. You remember the time when you sent your son and he was born of a virgin? That blows people's minds. Remember the time, God, you went to the cross and you died for me and you knew my name? I don't even know how to respond to that, God. God, you remember the time after 3 days of being in that grave, the stone rolled away and you walked out, and even death itself couldn't hold you? Do you remember that, God? Because that's the single most amazing thing that's ever happened. And you know what? As much as it sounds ridiculous, God in that moment draws close and he goes, yeah, I remember. And I love the fact that you remember too. Because we can have the confidence no matter how many times we go to God and we have this mental picture that somehow God is going to be angry with us and he's going to get on our case. Because of what Jesus did, it's just not true. It's just not true. God wants to spend time with us because he loves us and he's for us. God is always drawing us his direction. When we draw close to God, it begins to change us, not just in the things that we do, but it changes our heart forever. That's why God wants to be close to us. So what do we do with something like this? I'm going to invite somebody up here. I want us to have a little story time. Rachel, come on up here. This is Rachel. We've known each other for like a really long time. It's been like almost 12 hours.
Yeah.
So this morning, I got to hang out with Rachel and Emily. Where's Rachel and Emily's group? That's it. And we were talking about this, and I asked you a very simple question. I said, tell me about the time that you felt the closest to God. And you shared a story with me, and I'd like to have you share it with everybody else, just because I think there's something there that God wants to say to us. The thing that I love about that story is not only looking back and seeing what God has done, but in that moment, knowing, I don't have any control over this. This isn't my thing. This is God's, and all I can do is draw close to him and know that he loves me and that he's for me. I was even thinking as you shared that this morning about Psalm 34:8. It says this, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up because we're going to get ready. No, we're not. We're not going to ask the worship team to come up. As a matter of fact, what we're going to say is, stay seated. But Psalm 34:8 says this, and as we get ready to have announcements and get ready to go into our small group time, it says this: "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." When you look at that scripture, there is this one idea. How close does God want you to be that you find all of your safety and security in him? Not in anything else, not in all the circumstances, not all the... Where do you find your refuge? In him. How close does he want you to be? That you are literally engulfed by the love of God. I want to pray. And this is what I want us to do. Just like I'm not one of those guys that does the whole, you know, head bowed and eye closed thing, but just because we're all in the same boat, how many of you are in a place where you recognize you just haven't been drawing close to God, and a lot of it is because you're afraid of how he's going to respond to you? I get it. I totally get it. But in him we find our safety. In him we find our answers. In him we find a God who loves us. Let's pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, you are a great and merciful God. And in you we find our refuge. In you we find our confidence, not in self, but in a God who loves us and wants to care for us. We find a God who has plans for us. We find a God who wants to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And God, tonight we say we're going to draw close to you. We're going to experience what you have for us, because tonight we recognize more so than we ever have that we have a God who loves us. And even though we might be in a place where it's uncomfortable and we're scared and we're nervous, tonight with our head and our heart, we recognize we have a God who is for us and loves us. And because of that, we can have the confidence to draw near in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.